I want to read with you, first of all, this evening in 1 Thessalonians on chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're reading at verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We trust the Lord will bless this in the public reading of his word this evening. In most of our hymns tonight, we've been thinking about our soul. In this verse, we brought before us the truth that man is a tripartite being. He's a trinity. And in the verse, while it's a verse for believers, it's a verse that brings before us the truth for all men and women, that we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Or as the verse puts it, spirit and soul and body. When I was meditating on these things during the week, in particular from this meeting tonight, I was reminded that many years ago that someone came to the gate of the house, and these two were trying to propagate their teaching, and I asked them about their soul. And they said they didn't believe that we have spirit and soul and body. And they asked these two people who came to the gate, calling, "You have your Bible with you?" "Yes." "Would you kindly take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read to me verse number 23. And fishing out from among their books, they turned to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. And silently they read the verse in their translation, which was almost identical to our translation we've read tonight. The sense was the same. And I'll never forget them taking their Bible and closing it tight and looking me in the face and saying, "We still don't believe it." And says, "You read from your translation that you have a spirit and a soul and a body, and you don't believe your own translation?" And they turned on their heel and walked down the road. "We still don't believe it." Man is a tripart being. Now, C.I. Schofield many years ago noted that because man is a spirit, he is capable of God consciousness. And because he has a soul, he is capable of self-consciousness. Because he has a body, he is capable of world consciousness. And the scriptures remind us that these things are true. That man has a spirit. For in the Psalms we read, at chapter 18 and verse 28, For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. And then Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of his belly. And again, Elihu, after his three friends have done their speaking, would speak to Job in chapter number 32 and verse 8, and he says, because there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Again, the scriptures remind us in relation to our soul. And David would speak of these things in the Psalms. And in Psalm number 13 and verse 22, he asks this question, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? And again, in Psalm 42, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? And of course we know we have a body. David again would take up that pen in his book of Psalms, and we would read in Psalm 139 and at verse number 4, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We look at our body, what we see, but we cannot see our soul. We cannot see our spirit. But because we don't see them, doesn't mean to say we don't have them. This human frame of ours is so admirable. It's so complex, it's so delicately combined, that mankind is just overwhelmed when they consider this. But I want to speak about this, what the Bible speaks about our soul. We were in Norway just a few days ago. And on one of those trips we were taken into a rebuilt wooden Norwegian church. It had been set on fire, destroyed, the original, by what the guide says was Satanists, just 10 years ago. But it's been rebuilt. But one of the things that the guide said struck me. She says, there's only room for 30 souls in this church, referring to the building. We know that's not the church. But there's only room for 30 people, for 30 souls in this church. I wondered as we sat there listening to what she said, if the folks realized just what she was saying. 30 souls. For taking the word in that aspect was referring to us as people who were sitting there in those pews, listening to what the guide had to say. When God created man, and in Genesis chapter 2, when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says, man became a living soul. Inert, formed from the dust of the ground, until God breathed into his nostrils. And it's that expression where he became a living soul. There was one that God had formed from the very dust of the earth. And the Bible describes him as a living soul. Not only do I have a soul in the aspect that there is within me that which is conscious, a consciousness of what I am. or of a soul that needs to be saved. There's an old chorus in a book that we used to, one of some of our folks used to use in Trinidad. Somewhere in a trunk and a case up the Arctic in Kirkcaldy, I've a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my heart when I'm young. A soul to be saved. I need to be saved. I need God's eternal life. I need to know Christ as my Saviour and as my Lord. In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus. And it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. When Isaiah, speaking by the Spirit of God in this prophetic portion of his word, he speaks about the Lord Jesus, it pleased Jehovah, the Lord, to bruise him at Calvary. And when he shall have made him, put him to grief, and when he shall may have made his soul an offering for sin. And there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself an offering for sin. Now Paul has to say this to us. As he said it to the Galatians of old, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying to these Galatians, as if there was no other sinner in the world, God's Son gave himself for me. Have we reached that tonight? It was for me the Saviour came. It was for me, can you say, he died on Calvary's cross, that my soul might be saved for all eternity. That I might know him and be with him for all eternity. For as God breathed into Adam and made that man a living soul, he has imparted that life to us. And we have life tonight, physical. But we want to have life tonight, eternal. We want to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Saviour. And so says the Apostle to these Thessalonians, I pray God. Oh, there came for a moment in their life in chapter number 1 that they had turned to God from idols. That's conversion. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, who had delivered us from the wrath to come. He says, I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's day starts, but one day we'll experience when the Lord comes that he'll take us to be with himself unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed prospect for those who know him as their Saviour. When we turn to the book of Hebrews, I learned there that the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And it tells us that the Word of God, the Bible, the truth of God, is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we look back in life to the moments before we were saved, and we remember that the Spirit of God strove with us, and the message of God got home to us, and the Word of God was penetrating as a two-edged sword, and it was bringing us under conviction. The last night I preached the gospel here, I spoke about the night when John was saved. At least the morning after. Because the night John was saved, I slept through it all. And John can verify that. I slept in the next bed to him. Never knew a thing that happened. That John and Robert both that night trusted Christ as a Saviour, and John slept through it all until the next morning when it was made known. And it, like an arrow. Heedless, careless, indifferent. And the Spirit of God that strove brought John and Robert to the point of trusting Christ. And John slept through it all. Thank God. He didn't stop there. And so the Spirit of God, as a two-edged sword, does the work of convicting of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Now as man goes on his weary way, the Bible asks the question, the Lord Jesus asks the question, what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We were in the tent at Cross Hill a few weeks ago. We heard our brother Bob Driver preach. And he said something. He spoke about a man who lived in Park Street. He spoke about a man who lived in Park Street who came to Bethany Hall the same as us. But Hibbs got him to sign on the dotted line. And from that moment, he's gone, never to darken the door of the hall again. And I said to Bob after the meeting, you were talking about so and so. He says, I was that. I said, the last time I saw him, I was going up from Cross Hill over the bridge to Bethany Hall. And he was coming over the bridge from Lahore down to Cross Hill. The last time I ever saw him. Yes. The Scripture reminds us, what shall it profit a man to sign on the line? What shall it profit? And lose his own soul. Solemn. The young lady is lying sick in a hospital bed or in a home bed. And the sickness is taking her further down in health. Until she calls for her mother and she says, Mother, bring me that dress. What? And she told her the dress that she wanted. Bring me the dress. And she brought out this lovely ballroom dress. She says, Mother, that's cost me heaven. what shall it profit a man? Loved the dancing. That's cost me heaven. What shall it profit if we should gain the whole world and lose our soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange, the Lord Jesus said? What shall he give in exchange for his soul? What are we giving in exchange for Christ? For trusting him as our Saviour? Again, Hebrews reminds us, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. And I love this expression, to the saving of the soul. Why the apostle rejoiced with those Hebrew Christians that he could speak about, the soul is saved. I'm saved for all eternity. I know the Lord Jesus is my Saviour, the apostle could say, and so could they. And so can we, if we know him tonight. Know him as our Saviour. How can I get to know him as my Saviour? Well, the old chorus put it very simply, didn't it? Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, helpless, thou can make me whole. And it's in simple faith like that, when a sinner comes to the Saviour who died on the cross to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, a sinner comes and puts their faith and trust in a living Saviour, for he is alive. An empty tomb, filled throne, and there's a Saviour who's able to save to the uttermost all that cometh unto God by him. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That Saviour's here tonight. That Saviour's here tonight, and he's wanting to save. But we must come, just as others. Now Peter one day was in the boat. In that boat he saw the Lord coming. He asked the Lord to come to him. And he steps out of the boat and into the water. But he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. But it's these three words that he cried. Should be the cry of your heart tonight if you don't know the Lord Jesus yet. Lord, save me. What a wonderful prayer. Not big, not long. Lord, save me. And as soon as you venture upon the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit enters and you will be born of God. One day we are going to receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. When is he coming? He can come now. He's promised to come. And the Bible says he will come. Or in our verse we've read, we'll be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus is coming. Sing the glad word. He's coming. Duncan might never reach Canada again, nor Chris. We might never reach even home tonight in Kirkcaldy. You might never even reach home tonight, wherever it is in Methil or Leith. The Lord's coming. But will we all be ready when the Lord comes? All be ready. For the Lord Jesus is coming. Coming we sung, "Is it well with your soul?" That has been coming to my mind again and again as these verses of scripture we've looked over, that we need to be ready for the Lord when he comes. The psalmist speaks about the fact that he's going to be satisfied. He says in Psalm 63 verse 5, "My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Again in Psalm 17 and verse 15, "As for me," says the psalmist, "as for me, this is what I'm going to do. I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." A saved soul. One who's not saved, to die in their sins, to open their eyes in a lost eternity, and to hear the voice of the Lord, as it were, saying to him, "Remember, remember." Memory will not be obliterated in eternity. I'm sure there's folks who have sat in this meeting, in this hall, whether downstairs or upstairs, will remember for all eternity opportunity spurned. Is it well with your soul tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? If not, why not tonight? Why not trust the Lord Jesus and be able to say with us and with the psalmist and with the others of the scriptures, the truth of the verse of the hymn that we sung, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank thee tonight for salvation. And thank thee that we can say tonight of a truth, looking back in life's experience, to a moment when, in a place where, the knees were bowed and the tongue confessed, "Jesus is Lord." It is our prayer tonight that others yet might know him, that we might be able to say, we'll be preserved blameless, spirit and soul and body, in the presence of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless thy word, each heart bowed before thee, that, O God, we might have impressed upon us, I have a soul to be saved, and that soul can be saved tonight. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.